Boys Lunch.
Here we go. Hello and welcome back to Boys Lunch. Two Catholic teachers discussing life. We are two teachers from Central Catholic High School in Bloomington, Illinois. I'm Joey.
I'm Paul.
And here we are on the microphone again. It's been a few weeks.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
We are happy to be here. I appreciate your patience. I know people have been just pining after a new episode. We are working on something that we are really proud of, but yet to release it. So we're still working on a couple things. But we want to get an episode out to you, especially because Scott, I think, wants to mow his yard just one last time.
Got to mulch the leaves, you know?
Oh, of course, of course. Are you a raker or a mulcher? Ah, that's a question for another time. You can always email us at boyslunch1@gmail.com or follow us on, on Instagram at boyslunchpodcast. Who knows if anything's being posted on Instagram? Neither of you or I are on it.
I'll just give up on the whole Instagram thing. I
don't work. Just drop it.
Yeah, for real.
It's never going to take off.
It's been a few weeks. Our last episode was about the Brothers Karamazov.
Yes.
Which I thoroughly enjoyed.
So did I.
And I got mixed reviews.
Mixed reviews. Interesting.
One student said, I really liked it. Another student said, wasn't the move, man. But I get it. As I listened to it again, it was one of those where you can't just have on the background and pick up some good like things here and there.
Yeah.
You have to be locked in.
Yeah. I think my wife enjoyed it because she could tell that you and I were having a good time.
Nice. It was just where she's happy for us.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah. So, don't judge us by one. You know, I think there's good ones, there's some bad ones. Not bad ones, but, you know, just some you're going to like, some you aren't.
And we've got to be okay with that, right? Some are going to appeal to others, depending on where they're at in their life.
I'm okay with that.
Exactly.
I'm okay with that.
Some people hate the banter because they don't know us or the people that we talk about, but the content is gold. So you know what? It's just going to appeal to different people.
I'm okay with that.
You are okay with that. You need to be okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
So we have something coming up with one of our coworkers.
Yes.
Miss Elizabeth O'Brien, a Spanish teacher and campus minister at Central Catholic. We're going to record an episode with her that we're excited about. It's just really kind of hard to get three people's schedules to line up because we all have a lot of things going on. A lot of good things, though.
That is true.
It's been a couple weeks. Went camping with the boys, Cub Scouts, a couple weeks ago. That was fun. Nailed it.
Put up the tent yourself.
Did get help from another dad there.
But not because you needed it.
I didn't need it, but I could have done it myself.
Absolutely.
That was a lot of fun. We had really good weather. That was that weekend where the weather was really good.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
You found out what it was like to sleep on the ground.
Was not good.
Not good for your bones.
No. But that was fun. That was a good win moment with my boys. Just a good father-son bonding.
Yeah, it's fun that you guys got to do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of the great outdoors.
Good segue.
That was.
I mean, I don't even know what you're segueing to, but I like that.
Yesterday we had another beautiful day. And Mary.
Yesterday as in November 3rd.
Yes. Mary, to her credit, you know, first.
Mary as in Paul's wife.
Paul's wife, absolutely. You know, we had a night off and I was like, oh, we can just hang out or maybe we'll go out to eat or whatever. She's like, hey, let's go out to Dawson Lake. And it was so much fun.
Dawson Lake.
So there's some trails. We brought our Moraine View State Park for those people, I guess. Dawson Lake is what the lake is.
So you're talking about Lake in Atchison.
Dawson Creek. Oh, Lake in Atchison, Kansas?
Yeah.
Why does it always have to be about
or
you?
The show in Canada?
Anyway, but it was just so funny because Sienna just didn't get why we were out there. Is there a playground? No. What are we doing?
No.
Like, we're just walking, honey, in nature. Brought Winston out, let him off leash. He was able to run around.
That's a real Montessori move that you guys did there.
It was. But it was just so funny because she was just complaining for like the first, I don't know, a few minutes. But then as we kind of got around the backside of the trail, well, she started like taking pictures of like the sunset and the grass. She recorded some video of herself. And then she was just like.
On her cell phone? Or
you know, she like, hey, I want to take pictures. She asked Mary for her phone. And then she was walking and enjoying. And then we started turning back. And she's like, where are we going? Oh, we're going back to the car. No! She's like complaining. She was having so much fun. So it was good to the girls.
That reminds me of the walk with Jesus.
Nice.
I see what you did there, Paul. I see what you did.
But it was, and Zayla was just so positive about it. And it was just so cool that like, and it wasn't even, we wish we had gotten out there when like the leaves were changing. But it was still just absolutely beautiful.
Allison Tarr, who helps out with our advancement office, has been collecting names for us to pray for for November. And it's specifically like veterans as well, along with Daniel McKellen, our history teacher. And how many names did she say that we got sent back to us?
Like near 1,000.
Yeah, near 1,000 names.
And then hundreds of veterans.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
You probably received the mailing. If you're listening to this, you may have. If you haven't and you want to email...
Boys Lunch one. It'll never be
you
should
read. Probably you could probably send it to me.
But I thought it was a really cool thing that we're doing. And I know he started it. Was it last year, the year before? But just how much that's grown, the veteran thing. I sent in names today.
So that is ATAR, Allison Tar, at blmcchs.com. If you'd like to add your name to the list.
.org?
.org.
Yeah.
.org.
Nice try, man.
.net?
But yeah, I thought that was just pretty moving.
That's mean, beautiful. That's cool. Yeah, I did not expect there to be such a response. And so, yeah, really appreciative of everybody that's putting that together.
That's the Saints community for you.
Four
Anything
schools,
else
one
that
family.
We missed within the last three or four weeks?
Yeah, I mean, we really can't cover it all.
Or can we?
Buckle up. You got 14 more minutes of banter.
I got a lot. Anyway, we keep putting off the topic we're pretending to talk about, but something came up this week in my CCL class that I thought would be interesting to talk about. Are we just jumping into this?
I think we should.
Okay. And that is on the topic of pride. We're reading C.S. Lewis, and there's a chapter called The Great Sin, and he talks about how pride is really kind of the root of all sin, and that's what's been talked about within classical theology since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Pride is a sin, but I got a lot of pushback. First of all, because I don't think they read the entire chapter. They just read the first two pages and didn't see what kind of – he answers some of
really
their objections
a lot of it at, the end.
At the end of the chapter. But there was something telling in their responses and I think a lot of people's responses and just pride as a sin in general. I don't think too many people go to confession just at all. But when they go to confession, rarely are they saying like I committed the sin of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's something that's on their radar, something that's in their examinations, something that's in their prayer life. But it's something that is like silently and sneakily behind a lot of our actions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if we're not spending a lot of time seeking out the answer to why am I falling into these sins repeatedly, whether it be like anger or other, we're like almost seeing, we're not figuring out what is the cause. What is it about my disposition or the way I'm approaching life that's leading me to commit these sins? And pride is at the center of that. And if we're not spending time on reflection, on asking why I get frustrated with that driver on the road or why I continue to gossip, what is it that causes me a desire to gossip or a desire to feel like I need to yell at that individual on the road? Pride's the root of that. And if we're not spending time reflecting on why or...
Yeah, and like, I guess we should clarify what is pride. It's not just being like proud or... Having this admiration for someone in your life, like in a healthy way. Pride, Lewis actually said, he says, unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness are mere flea bites in comparison to what pride is.
Yeah.
He said, pride leads to every other sin. It is a complete anti-God state of mind. It is what the first rejection of God had to do with. As Lucifer is presented with this, will you follow? It is that pride of saying, I hear your plan, God. I see your purpose, but mine is better. Mine is greater.
Yeah.
And I'm going to follow me. It's this turning inward that we see within the angelic realm and then eventually with humans. Mm-hmm. If we look at the first sin of Adam and Eve, was it really them eating an apple? It could have been. The story is really supposed to be presenting this idea of these humans being presented with, this is what I've made you for,
mm-hmm.
right? To eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is saying that I am now partaking and I am the controller of what is good and evil. I am making my own moral truths and my own reality apart from you, God. That is the pride saying, you have given me all these things. You have made me for all these other reasons within the garden to eat of all these other trees, to find fulfillment and happiness in these. But what I'm going to do is create my own moral truth,
right.
What I think is good, what I think is evil.
I know better.
It could have been any type of sin, but that sin, it was the moment of pride saying, I know better and I'm going to choose my own way apart from you, God. The anti-God state of mind. And that's like what we're saying. We struggle with anger. We struggle with lust, with drunkenness, whatever, impatience, with gossip. But at the root of all of that, it's so often in life we're focusing on all the symptoms later on. We're not focusing on the root cause of those symptoms.
Excellent.
Right? If I... I don't know, if I have some kind of debilitating disease and I keep taking ibuprofen, that'll kind of dim things for a while, but I need to get to the root cause of the problem. And I think we struggle so much in our spiritual life because it's hidden, or focus so much on the outlier things that are maybe more present. But we don't see the...
Yeah, what he says later in the chapter, Satan is happy to for you to cure this these smaller sins as long as it permits him to establish the dictatorship of pride in oneself, right?
Yes. Yes. Exactly, Paul.
Exactly. And I think it is because students get, or anybody gets kind of confused, like, yeah, I should be proud of who I am and what I do. I should take pride in maybe my appearance or how I carry myself and those types of things. And there's nothing wrong with, again, enjoying the consolation if someone says a job well done.
Yeah.
It is that idea that we are going to, and maybe you've got a better way of summing it up, but for me, it's, again, why am I seeking admiration, or why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it so that I can see myself lifted up, or am I doing it because I enjoy seeing others suffer or seeing them as less than me? He uses the example of greed and money, right? Mm-hmm. Is my desire for money or for status, is it solely because I'm just seeking it because I like money, or is it because I want to have more money than another?
Yeah.
Or
because he says it comes to a certain point where the greedy person doesn't really need that much more. Mm-hmm. The reason they want that much more is because they want more than another person.
Right.
Then it turns from greed to pride.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're using greed in a prideful way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like you're saying, there's, if I'm wanting the respect of my mentor, my parent, like someone that I care about, if I'm wanting them to be proud of me because I care about them and I love them, that adoration like fills me up in a way of joy and like community and bringing me outside of myself, like that is a good desire. So it's not like trying to make you hate yourself and everything you do.
Right.
But if I'm trying to, puff up my status with anything and it's feeding my ego, I think that's the difference, right?
Absolutely.
There was a line, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. Mm-hmm. And I think that is that the pride is that anti-God state of mind. And it's something that I think you've alluded to a couple of different times in our podcast, the navel gazing, right? Looking down. And the ego drama versus theo drama. It's a different way to kind of describe some of the things that we've already hit on within the human experience on our podcast. Like that is pride. That's the looking down. And I think what I was experiencing in class is, especially with sports, it was hard for them to see, like, why wouldn't I be competitive? Because Lewis talks about pride being a competitive thing. Mm-hmm. It's always about trying to have more, to be better, to like, it's always trying to put another person down.
Yeah.
And that's how they were raised, though. Like, that's the American way, is that you should be proud of yourself. You should work to be better than everyone else. And not like to get political, but that's like the... When capitalism goes out of hand, when you're just taking advantage of all these other people and squashing other people and not seeing the dignity in other people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is like the American spirit run awry.
Right.
When we no longer look towards our neighbors and have that outward look of charity, it's all give me, give me, give me. Let me become the best person with the most money, with everything that, like, so you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that's what America is, that's what capitalism is, but like that is sometimes the spirit behind things. Again, with the American spirit, it's not saying like self-love is not the sin of pride, like self-care, self-love, right? There is but there's a healthy understanding of self.
Yeah.
To say that yourself can do no wrong is misleading. To say that you have no attachments or weaknesses is misleading. Now you can't be over scrupulous, meaning like so bothered by these things that you cannot see a way out. But pride is not willing to admit that you need help. Pride is the one that isn't wise, admitting what they don't know. Pride is the one that isn't saying, or is the one saying that I can fight these attachments on my own. I can fight these sins on my own. And I don't know if you want to switch into the idea of humility, because that is like the cure to pride.
Yeah.
But I just, there's been a prayer, a litany. A litany normally is kind of a list of set prayers that are made. There's different litanies in the church, like, there's a litany of humility, and it's just a prayer where it goes through all these different ideas of what it means to be humble, and what it means to not be afraid of certain things within my life and to accept certain things in my life. And it is a very humbling prayer to pray. and very illuminating. And I think if the average Christian who wasn't really into their faith or really trying to make themselves virtuous every day would be alarmed by what it says. It's like when you read a really good examination of conscience that's actually listening to things you're doing wrong, you're like, wow, seem pretty picky though. Yeah. Like a lot of times we are very surface level when it comes to examination, when it comes to what we're actually called to.
Yeah. And I think it is so powerful, but it needs to be a fundamental shift in how I view the world, right? It needs to be this idea that, why do I do what I do? Is it for my own sake, or is it for love of other and a love of God? If my relationships are only around me to lift myself up and it's what's in it for me, not how I can serve another. If it's my prayer life is, even in prayer life, we can find ourselves like, look how good I am at praying. Look how holy I am. It's all this type of, I only do these things because I need to be seen as holy. Not I do it for my love of God and to give myself the capacity to love others. Right. So when we look at this litany of humility, it's intense for a reason, because we need to understand that so often do we make any decision based off of what's best for me, not what am I called to do in that moment? What is the charitable thing in that moment? What would God demand of me in that moment? And I think all of my sin, and this is why it's the root of that, is circled around. I chose to do something because I thought it was the right thing to do, or because I wanted to do it for myself, or because it's how it's useful, it should be for me versus what was the self-sacrificial decision in that moment? What was the good versus what I need?
Yeah. So I think this last section or part, as we get into it, I do want to kind of read a little bit of that and kind of just think about it and just kind of call people to a truer and more authentic and real examination of our lives. Absolutely. And what we are called to.
Absolutely.
All right. So part one was the idea that pride is a real thing within the spiritual life that we tend to overlook. And that, especially I think in our American culture, it is not on our radar. And I think it's hard for people to grasp that it is even like problematic. But how it is the root of all of our sins. Why do we choose evil within our life? Why do we choose vice? It's because our pride is at the root of it, right?
And I think there's such nuance to the word pride and how we use it now versus maybe what it was, that it's important to understand that not all things in which we are proud of and we should take pride in certain things are evil. You know, being happy that we are being recognized for doing good, all those types of things. It just takes time and reflection to understand exactly what's at the heart of my actions. And so when it comes to pride and discerning it, the good from the bad, it just takes some time. It takes time. And practice of humility is going to reveal ultimately
what does it really mean to be humble? And then what does it mean to be proud in that spiritual sense? The litany of humility, I would just recommend Googling it. I'm on ascensionpress.com.
I'm an EWTN guy, but go ahead.
You know, I had EWTN, but it was just spaced out so weird.
Oh, you could.
All of it did not just show up on one page. It was just, I would have to scroll. Because EWTN, not known for their like game-changing technology. Ascension Press, a little more, they probably have someone that was born 1997 on that worked for them. So
I don't care if it was bold font so that all ages could read it in EWTN.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. But I want to read some of the litany of humility. The first part is you respond, you say something, you respond, deliver me, Jesus. So it says like, from the desire of being honored, deliver me, Jesus. You would, and as you're praying through that, I mean, you could just go through and do it and say the words because there's value in that and there's merit in that. But actually like, thinking about it, like it's almost like an examination sometimes for me. It's like, gosh, in my life, how often do I desire to be honored in a way that is almost like, I don't know, detrimental to me? I want that honor. I desire it and I need it in a way that's unhealthy.
And if I weren't to get it, that would affect me.
Right. The desire to be honored, the desire to be praised, the desire from the desire of being preferred to others. From being approved, from the fear of being humiliated, from the fear of being despised, from the fear of suffering rebukes, from the fear of being forgotten. Like these are like, or being ridiculed, these things that we avoid at all costs. Like I don't want to be forgotten, but let me not be afraid to be forgotten.
Yeah.
Like that is such a strong prayer that's like not at the fore of my prayer life all the time, unless I'm confronted in a, and that's what like good prayer is that way, where the light shines on you and you're confronted with something that you need to address.
And I think we can be paralyzed by these fears and anxieties that I'm not going to act in fear of not getting this or being liked or being ridiculed. They can, yeah. And so if we don't have this healthy detachment mm-hmm. from the reality that our detachment from our own pride and image that we've built up and what we think it should be versus what, because our dignity ultimately is not wrapped up in how much praise we get, how I'm seen by others, how much recognition.
You feel more free too when you're finally getting to that point in your life where you're not, you don't need that. It's free.
Absolutely.
And I think when we've criticized the idea or critiqued the idea of I'm a good person, I'm going to go to heaven, I think these are things that we're mentioning. Mm-hmm. Like you can be kind to your neighbors and stuff, but still be so attached to people's approval and their honor. Not a quick aside, Lewis is like, it's not that I don't let people affect me because I'm confident in who I am. Like there's a difference between that and then not caring about what people think because you think they're below you.
Exactly.
Right. That's not what it's saying. Like,
or that all that matters is my image of myself,
right.
Which is, it's good again, that self-love, self-care. But the idea is that
your again, opinion your is worth? So little.
Right.
I don't value you that it doesn't even matter what you think of me. Like you still need to respect the dignity of other people. But some of these things like that in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease. That others may be chosen and I set aside, that others may be praised and I unnoticed, that others may be preferred to me in everything, that others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should. Wow. Zers. That's like everything against the social media craze now.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like Gen Z and what are we? Millennials.
Sure.
And I think even like boomers are getting in on this. I think they're being exposed at a later age of the Facebook craze of then wanting to post these pictures. And like, I think they're getting, it's everyone,
right?
Social media is taking our culture and feeding us into, if you don't post, you're going to be forgotten. If you don't post, you're like, they're going to get the glory and the honor and you're not, like, you're going to be, your social status matters.
If you're comparing your photos and how many likes they get versus another, because somehow your worth is determined by, or how, I don't know. Easy to fall into that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like how foolish that this wouldn't affect you. I mean, it's something that everybody deals with. I mean, shoot, how many times have we been, we not taught something or brought something up in class because we were afraid that people would find it lame or like something that I want to do with this, the students, but I'm like, man, they might not enjoy that. Like,
my reputation to them.
Right. I need
my
to be
coolness factor exactly. is going to go away if I do this, if I'm vulnerable in this way, if I admit that this is actually something that's moving to me.
Or a great example, we just got a wonderful letter that was passed on to us from Isaac Sanders, who is in the seminary. He just this great letter thanking him for what Central Catholic has done for them. That is Kevin Cook. That's ccook@blmcchs.org. You can donate now today. But he sends this wonderful letter. But I was thinking to myself, as he starts to sometimes, he names a handful of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And you start, there's a point where you're just like, is he going to name me? Because that is like, this is a beautiful letter. He's thanking the school for all it's done. And I'm very much a part of that school and I should take this and be grateful. But spoiler, I'm not going to share whether or not he shared my name. But the idea is like, how much do we look?
There's that validation. Yeah.
Yeah. You're looking for it. I need it.
Yeah.
This letter's only going to be good or it's going to mean more to me because.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I think that's so true within our line of work here. Like when there's someone that's doing well in life and they're coming back to thank. You're like, am I going to be the one they're going to shout out?
Right.
If I'm not, like, I need that. What do you mean I didn't like help you?
I wasn't their favorite teacher. No, yeah.
Is a temptation that
you
have
a lot of great
teachers
in the school, and that doesn't mean you didn't have an impact on our life. But just because they didn't name you doesn't mean
that's everyone at their jobs or in their sports or clubs.
And so that's again, it's if you get a promotion at work, you should be happy.
Yeah,
you recognize your work.
Be proud of your hard work.
Be proud of your hard work. But if it's like you're constantly chasing it, or if someone else gets the promotion ahead of you, I mean, it's still okay to have feelings and to allow that to hurt. But if I'm going to resent that person, or at least in prayer, bring that to prayer and be like, why am I so disheartened by this? Because a part of it would be pride of just like, I deserve that over them. Well, why? You may not have the full picture. You might not have. We never do.
Yeah.
So it's just such a tough balance. But that's why we're asking for this reflection. I think this example.
Yeah, we're called to be Christ-like. Christ lowered himself, mm-hmm. took on human flesh, right? That the whole great passage of Philippians. Right. In the passage, 2 Corinthians. Look at me just pulling out some Pauline letters right now. But the idea when this is one of those moments where the Bible becomes real and just touching and moving. even through like academic study, mm-hmm. Paul's correspondence with Corinth, because we have two letters, but it's really kind of split up into four letters, separate letters that he sent them. And 1 Corinthians is really the second letter that he sends. After like they don't respond well to the first one, he tries to like kind of help them. Mm-hmm. But your problem is that you're so prideful. You guys are bragging about who baptized you. Do you see like the error in that? It doesn't matter if Paul did it or if Apollos did it. There's no like better Christian in that way because of baptism. You're suffering from pride. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be the self-giving love. That's like the whole point of 1 Corinthians. You guys are prideful. You need to do this self-gift. They don't respond well to him. They're like, whatever, dude. In 2 Corinthians, if you start, I think at chapter 10, this is fool speech, where they start like to make fun of him. And so he says, if you guys want to make fun of me, I'll make fun of myself as well. And he like has this whole fool speech humiliating himself. Mm-hmm. I've been beaten this many times, shipwrecked this many times, flogged, blah, blah, blah. And he goes through and he says, he tries to brag about himself at first. He gets like one line in and he goes, I sound like a madman. I need to stop. And then he starts saying all these bad things that has happened to him. And that's where we get the line of, in my weakness, I am strong. Right? Through God's grace, that's what makes me strong. And I think there's something, like we're saying, it's not necessarily that we can't try our best in things and succeed in life and be successful, but recognizing that my value is not wrapped up in the honor that I'm given, although it can affirm me and help me feel like I'm maybe on the right path. If that's where my dignity is, I'm missing the whole message of the gospel, that my value lies in God and that he unconditionally loves me and that in my weakness, God is able to make up what is lacking, and that's where my strength is.
Yeah. And I think in moments of competition as well, I think the phrase, all for God's greater glory, it's not a cast off, just dismissal like, oh yeah, and I did this for God as well. Mm-hmm. The reality is like, I play sport, I compete, right? So that I may make use of the gifts that both God has given me and that I have accessed and have practiced, mm-hmm. and I will work hard and I will enjoy this competition. And if I win, right? I will be thankful, proud. But again, it's not for my glory. I don't win so that I can be, look at me, I've done it. I do it for God's greater glory. And yes, I enjoy that as a part of that, but I enjoy it because I am participating in what God has given me.
And it is funny that like that is still how acceptance speeches are given. Yeah. They always, like not always, but like they know that that's what it should be for. Mm-hmm. Or every like acceptance letter or commitment letter on Twitter now. Super blessed to be able to commit to Drake University. Mm-hmm. Thanks to God and my family. Like they're saying the right things, but I hope that they're actually living it out. The reason I'm so joyful right now is because I'm thankful to God for the blessings he's given me to succeed in this and the joy that it's brought me in performing something in an excellent way mm-hmm. with other people.
I think, and I don't know if you wanted to go through more of that, but I think it's just important when the next time we strike out or lash out or have a resentful thought towards another individual or whatever it might be. I think it's important to understand like to just take that moment to prayer. And I love the example of like, I think it's a good showing of where you're at maybe in your spiritual life and how you react to things that are outside of your control. And I think particularly of like driving, right? If there was a couple students just, complaining about they got stuck behind two cars going 45 or no, I think they said specifically 48 miles an hour on Twana Barnes. Speed limit is 45, but the two of them were side by side and they couldn't get around them. And I was just like, yeah, how dare they do this speed limit? Just like trying to call to the absurdity of it. But we had a great conversation about just the idea that like, how dare these two people who have no idea who I am and what I've done do the speed limit and go about their day. Hmm. And I'm going to allow it to have a negative impact on my life because the way that I'm approaching this is like, they should be out of my way so that I can do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then I'm angry at them. And then I'm going to allow that to like creep into the rest of my day.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to bring it to first hour and I'm going to be like upset about it.
Yeah.
You know, and we're all there. Mm-hmm. I mean like, shoot, I'll get frustrated probably with a student coming out of the parking lot later today. And it's like, so it's not like, it's a natural temptation. Yeah. But I think it's good to have a healthy understanding and call that to mind and be like, okay, like, why am I allowing, like, yeah.
Yeah, because there's parts, and I think that's more of our active pride or something, we're throwing it out there. But I think there's like there's also that passive pride of, you hear that someone said something negative about you, to be able to just let it go and not have to control that narrative. Mm-hmm. Let's be like, whatever, they have a negative opinion of me. I know what I've done. I don't need to like, I don't know. Does that make sense? I don't need to go all the way out of my way to be like, no, I'm actually like this. Like,
yes.
this desire to be approved and praised and honored, like to be willing to be humiliated almost. And there's a line to that. You know what I mean? But that one's tough for me.
Yeah.
To let just something go.
No, they need to know.
Like a false, a false idea about me to be okay. And like, Jesus as the example again, mm-hmm. how many people had those false accusations of Jesus and he just sat there mm-hmm. and loved them.
Yeah.
While still preserving the truth and protecting it. Anyway, any shout outs? I haven't been recording.
Who do I want to shout out?
I feel like we got something. Owen Ritter and Sydney Adams stopped in.
Yes.
That was great to see them. They're doing well in life. And T's and P's go out to you guys.
T's and P's.
On the journey.
A couple of parents that I saw recently, Nick Becker.
Nice.
Shout out Nick Becker. And then Annie Bordwick again as well. And anybody who is helping Central Catholic at this time that maybe goes unrecognized. I know there's a lot of people that serve on a lot of different boards that might be listeners that we are even unaware of that they are helping out. I just want to take a moment to say thank you, because I know as the school is continuing to build and grow, there's just a lot going on behind the scenes. And I think sometimes teachers get wrapped up in like all the changes that might be coming or things that are demanded of us, but I don't think we really appreciate how, you know, they've got full-time jobs, a lot of them, and then they come here after school
sharing their talents and resources.
So thank you as well.
Hey, and just like if you are like a listener, former student out there, or parent, you have made yourself known. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear that you're listening and your thoughts and feedback. So
boyslunch1@gmail.com.
Yeah. For the kingdom.
For the kingdom.